You are listening to Black Sister Talk, so you can breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk Radio Broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
This is in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the United States. We stand with you.
For African peoples, nothing important happens without a libation. And so for this very important presentation, we begin by the pouring of libation. We pour libation first to our first ancestor, to that hidden one who, though hidden, manifests in all things as all things, that God-goddess idea in the universe by any and all names. To our first ancestor, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation too to our ancestors because they were the first people on this planet, mothers and fathers of all mankind, flashpoint of the human family. To those ancestors we pour libation, our shades. Pour libation too to our ancestors because they were the ones who first gave birth to the idea of civilization, knew we would need a form of governance, And they nurtured that idea along the Nile until it reached its zenith in Kemet. There they built these gigantic monuments as evidence of that great civilization. And they carved instructions on the walls of temples and tombs for us, so we would never forget. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation to our ancestors, because over time they put together all the tenets of civilization and they took those ideas and left the continent. They were the people of the first Exodus. They left Africa and went all over the world and peopled the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. We pour libation to our ancestors because they did not sit on their laurels. They continued to improve, continued to evolve. And at each point of evolution, they again would leave the continent. Leave the continent and settle and resettle the planet. They met themselves coming and going. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation to those ancestors because over time, they found themselves the object of a forced exodus. When they were kidnapped, shackled, cargoed, shipped out of Africa and enslaved in diasporas around the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation to the ancestors left at home, the very young, the aged, the infirm, left to reinvent themselves, depleted of us, human resources. But they were enjoined by us in the diasporas, both objects of a global myopia that ruptured the soul of a people as it ravaged a continent. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation to those ancestors because over time they began to remember who and what they were. Because no matter where they had been dropped off, they still retained bits and pieces of who and what they were. They retained that African core that described them. They began to remember bits and pieces of a song. They began to remember lines from a rhythm. They began to remember dances that they did in ancient times. They began to remember those ancient drum beats that they now beat out on bare skin. And so to those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation to them because they then began to teach each other. They began to resurrect and reconstruct that history and that culture. They became the new Africans wherever they were. They became the new teachers, preachers, archaeologists, the new singers, dancers, the new drummers, the new Jalia. They reconstructed that history and our culture and became new Africans everywhere. So to those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation to those ancestors because they are the ones who passed that information on to us. And so we pour libation to those of you who will watch this presentation. Those of you who are the recipients of that pieced together history, of that reconstructed culture. To you, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation to our children and those yet to be born. For they are the ones that you must teach. And you can only teach if you know the history. So to you who are learning the history and are passing on that history, and to our children who are learning that history and will pass that history on to all eternity. But they will call your name in all eternity. To our children we pour libation. Ashe. Ashe. Ashe.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Can I lay with you? What's up? You're looking good today. So you gonna give me some time or what?
What you talking about, shorty? What you know about a woman's work?
Sister Talk, Soul You Can Breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review. We'll be right back.
Hello, 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 everybody. Happy Saturday. Happy Saturday. I would like to thank everybody for being here with us to breathe. And I ask that our listeners call in to participate in the community therapy discussion. Join us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe at 215-490-9832. That number, 215-490-9832. Now let's get it. For my regulars, you know how it goes. And for my newer listeners, we like to start the show off by paying respect to our ancestors. And today's ancestral profile is going to focus on none other than the mother of blues, Ma Rainey. I love Ma Rainey. She was often called the mother of blues. Ma Rainey was known for her deep-throated voice and mesmerizing stage presence that drew packed audiences and sold hit records in the early 20th century. Also a songwriter, her lyrics and melodies reflected her experiences as an independent, openly bisexual African-American woman. Ma Rainey was born Gertrude Melissa Nix Pridgett in Columbus, Georgia, on April 26, 1886. Her parents, Thomas and Ella Allen Pridgett, were minstrel performers. Rainey displayed a talent for singing at a young age and began performing as a teenager. She made her debut with a bunch of Blackberry's Revue at the Springer Opera House in Columbus. She then began singing with traveling vaudeville acts and tent shows, honky tonks, and carnivals. It was on the performance circuit that she met comedian, singer, and dancer Will Pa Rainey, and the two married in 1904. They formed a double act, Ma and Pa Rainey, and toured with various African-American minstrel troupes and vaudeville groups, most notably the Rabbit Foot Minstrels. After about a dozen years of marriage, Rainey and her husband separated. Rainey then created her own show, Madame Gertrude, Ma Rainey and her Georgia Smart Set. Rainey, the mother of blues, was influential for bridging the traditions of vaudeville and authentic Southern blues. The blues descended from the call and response storytelling songs of West Africa, captive Africans passed them down through the generations while enslaved in the Western Hemisphere. Rainey's strong voice and characteristic moaning style of singing also fueled her success. A vibrant stage presence, she was known for her gold teeth, flashy clothing, and jewelry, and establishing a personal connection with her audiences. Life as traveling entertainer was not easy for African Americans in the early decades of the 20th century. The Theater Owners Booking Associations, TOBA, arranged many of their performances. TOBA was well known for its exploitive working conditions and the low wages it paid African American performers. Many eventually claimed that TOBA stood for Tough on Black Artists. Still, Rainey was a star on the TOBA circuit. She attracted large audiences of adoring fans across the South and Midwest. Her performances drew racially mixed, though still segregated, audiences, demonstrating her wide appeal. Her two-hour show usually began with jazz numbers by the band and a performance by a line of chorus girls. After comedy routines and other acts, Rainey would make her grand entrance and dazzle the audience with songs like I Ain't Got Nobody, A Good Man Is Hard to Find, and her encore, CC, Rider Blues. Rainey signed a recording contract with Paramount Records in 1923, making her one of the earliest recorded blues musicians. Between 1923 and 1928, she recorded almost 100 records, many of them national hits that are now part of the American musical canon. Her 1924 recording of CC Rider Blues, for which she was accompanied by a young Louis Armstrong, was added to the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry in 2004. Rainey's songwriting was notable for its raw depiction of life from the perspective of a woman struggling with heartbreak, depression, and other maladies. But amidst these difficulties, Rainey's protagonist did not rely on male partners or submit to the rules society tried to inflict on them. In the song "Old Papa Blues," Rainey tells of the wrongs a former lover committed against her, but her lamentation soon turns to scheming for revenge. "Improve It On Me Blues." Rainey boasts about her attraction to women and wearing men's clothing. As scholar and activist Angela Davis wrote, "The women in Rainey's songs explicitly celebrate their right to conduct themselves as expansively and even as undesirably as men." Rainey's cultural legacy is profound. She was a mentor to the legendary blues singer Bessie Smith, and the two were rumored to have had a romantic relationship. Rainey is credited with inspiring later singers such as Dinah Washington, Big Mama Thornton, and Janis Joplin. Her story inspired famed playwright August Wilson's 1982 play, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which takes its title from Rainey's 1927 song of the name, which in turn refers to the black bottom dance trends of the 1920s. It was a Broadway success and was recently adapted as a film. Rainey made her home in Chicago for much of the 1920s and early 1930s. When she lost her recording contract with Paramount, the company claimed her style of blues had fallen out of fashion. She resumed touring and performed at private parties. Following the deaths of her sister and mother, Rainey returned to Columbus, Georgia to live with her brother. She owned and managed two theaters and was active in the Friendship Baptist Church, where her brother was a deacon. Rainey passed away from heart disease on December 22, 1939, at the age of 53. Come on, y'all. Let's lift Ma Rainey up in power. That is just amazing. Just amazing. I mean, so much history and just looking at where we are now in 2021, where we are celebrating pride and we're rejoicing people's love and relationships. And so just to imagine being a black woman and a lesbian during that time, one could only imagine the challenges she had to endure. How everybody doing? I hope y'all having a happy Saturday. I know it's been a while. But we back, guys, and we're going to celebrate life today. It has been a whole year since this show has started, and I must say it feels good to be back on the air since about April. Since Black Sister Talk has started, we have experienced some ups and downs and some changes, which is a constant reminder that I'm living and there is no obstacle too big that can't be accomplished. Lots of lessons have been learned and taught along the way, and it feels good to continue to spread the message and fight stigmas that keep us all in a box. Today, we are going to discuss the list. And I know some of you may be thinking, what list? Because you have lived and learned, which is cool, and I accept that. But I'm speaking to those who haven't evolved to that level and yet need some assistance or thinking about some of these things that you may have already arrived to. So, let's not be big-headed and have a discussion here to help those who have not gotten there and use this as a way to create dialogue to discuss those deep crevices that no one wants to explore or speak because they fear reactions from others. Usually, this tea is served piping hot at brunch, but today, I would like some of the gentlemen to call in and shed some light on this topic as well. You know, mental health is created in several ways, from insecurities to social anxieties, the depressions, and the many other challenges that connect and integrate in our lives that make us act or not react. I stumbled upon today's topic while having various conversations with women and men, and I have discovered that this list does exist, and it is tailored throughout life based on experiences we have had while growing up, while dating, trauma, friendships, television, programming, you name it. But I have to be honest, having all these different messages makes your vision as well either within grasp or so far out of bounds, nothing will make you happy. So let's get into it. Let's get into this topic. You can love someone else more than you can love yourself. Because I will not be a fool and tell you that this is impossible. But I will tell you that this is probably more ideal than listeners would like to believe. So let's get these lines open and talk about the focus on the list and helping you to address these nuances about yourself so you can have some relationship smarts. Without further ado, the misses and the sirs, I want to know how you decide that this man or woman is right for you. How do you know? How do you get there? What is on your list? Let's see. Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I want y'all to open them lines up. We ain't going to be quiet today, ladies. See, Bless Us to Talk gives us a voice to speak. We need to exercise our right. Speak your mind, because let's call this practice. And practice makes perfect. So let's talk about it. What's on your list? Do you think your list is realistic?
Hey, Miss Chambers.
Hey. Look, I know you got a list, and ain't nobody going to make the cut, is it?
No, ain't nobody going to make the cut. There's a lot before them has messed up the cut. But I think for people that are still looking for people, you know, to love on them and be a part of their circle and a part of the world, they got to look at that list to make sure it's realistic. And you can't come in with expectations. You can't bring in extra baggage from old relationships either, because that's going to mess up things for you. So you got to first love yourself and figure out what it is that makes you happy, because can't nobody make you happy but yourself. And then you look at the mate that you want to bring into that circle, male or female, because, you know, we have both now. I don't knock people's preference, you know. It's not for me, because I'm, you know, I just don't knock it. But being a divorcee for 10 years, single, still single, like I said, the Lord going to have to come out of the sky. Jesus himself going to have to knock on my head and say, hey, he's the one. Because right now, it's just not happening. And I'm not trying to discourage anyone. That's just for me. But for those that are looking for that ideal mate or someone that they want to have in their life, you know, you got to love yourself first. And, you know, set those boundaries, rely on your values and morals that you were taught, and pay attention to the signs. And before you get too deep into it, you know, walk away. And so that you can walk away being happy and not taking that baggage on to another relationship.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you say is, pretty much trigger everybody with a clean slate. Is that easier said than done?
Very so. Because you never know. Everybody's not honest. You know, a lot of people have a lot of things for whatever reason. A lot of people don't feel like they can share different things because they've lost that trust in everyone. So, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Because the other thing I heard you stick out was those values. And so I agree with you about the values. But see, sometimes this is how these things continue to matriculate, because this set of standards may have been acceptable. And so you may find it acceptable to be in an abusive relationship because that's all you've seen. And so sometimes those values become toxic values. And so I want us to be able to kind of get our viewers some examples of some of those values that may become universal, and let's maybe have a standard.
I'm not going to say a one size fits all, because see, the thing that I want to get down to and at the end of this discussion about this list is that that list should be within and something that you have, not something that you necessarily share with men as like a part of application process. I mean, once you tell somebody what your hand is, they know how to play you. And so I think that that mystery about it, it still should be there. Some things you do need to be straightforward about, but that list, you'll know it when you find it. You'll feel it. And that's probably all I would tell them about whether or not I like them or, you know, how I'm spending time with you and things like that, because men become possessive. And when they feel like they've checked that list off, you're in trouble. Well, why you don't like me? Because I did everything you said on that list, but you it still don't feel right. You might have done everything on the list, but you're still not the one. And so, Miss Laney, I feel like you hit it on the head when you said it in the beginning. These expectations. How do we allow these expectations to create these kind of challenges? But also having a thin line between having some sort of standard, can't just have no expectation at all, I think.
Yeah, you got to be careful too, Ms. Chambers, with that list, because some people just not cut out to, you know, stick around to entertain you and your list. And be like, well, you know, I am not the one for you, so let me go on to the next person, and then, you know, you're trying to kind of reinvent the wheel. So that's coming into it with those expectations of how, you know, a man's supposed to look, how he's supposed to dress, what he's supposed to do for you. You know, how about being independent? Whatever he brings to the table, y'all work together and, you know, multiply and make more, because it should never be to the point where it's one-sided and one person doing more than the other. And that's when you bring in all other obstacles that are hindering a lot of healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. I do. I really do. Let's see. What do you think about the list? Well, I guess you don't think nothing about the list. We just a listener. That's fine. I'm happy that you're here to listen. So getting back to the list, how do we get to this list? I mean, if I would imagine that whenever you first start dating, that maybe there is no list at all. And maybe this list comes from the negative and or the positive experience you have had with someone that lets you know what, I dated him, I like this about this guy, but I didn't particularly care too much for this about this guy. But, you know, even though he got three things about him I didn't really like, he still had five things I was able to deal with. You know, and so we start formulating those kind of ideas, I would say, after one or two, maybe three bad experiences. I would hope it wouldn't take more than one or two, but if you had three, it's time for you to address yourself and kind of what type of woman you are, and what type of men you attract. Because some of us women, we might say this person look different or whatever, but it's sometimes we're attracted to certain qualities in a man. And so that's how that list is formed. Like, I only like to date this type of guy. So that's one thing on the list, you know. Then it's next, got to be employed, you know. And then what if you really like a guy who isn't employed, but he got everything on the list? Is that a deal breaker? Like, how do you begin to make those decisions?
Well, I think Ms. Chambers, sometimes in those decisions, when she got to have X, Y, Z, that's passed on through generations, you know, from big mama on down to your mama, to somebody else's mama. You know, if he ain't doing this or he can't buy this, then you need to drop him like he a zero, you know, and then the list changed to something different. And then they keep adding on and adding on. But that's, you know, sometimes when our ancestors and our mothers and other individuals living vicariously through us, because, you know, along the way, their list didn't get met, so they want to impose their list upon their daughters or their sons or whoever else in the way that they should be with whoever and whenever. And if they can't do this or can't do that, then, you know, it defeats the purpose. You need to keep on moving until the list is filled.
What would be some deal breakers?
Sometimes it's not no deal breaker. Sometimes it's, you know, it'd be simple things like if he can't pay my bills, or if he can't, you know, take care of my kids, whether they his or not, or if he can't give me X number of dollars where I can have in my pocket to spend, then it's a no deal for me. You know, not for me, but for some other people that have a list. You know, a hardworking guy that got oil on his clothes and, you know, out here turning wrenches and cutting grass and doing all this here, you know, they want to turn their nose up somebody like that. But, you know,
when you're making an honest living.
Exactly. But, you know, that ain't enough for them. They want somebody out here, you know, balling, shot calling, that got, you know, got these bands in their pocket because that's what their mamas and grandparents and some other people done taught them, that that's what they need to do. Instead of teaching them how to be independent, how to be, you know, self-sufficient and work hard and make their own money. And then if you do happen to stumble into somebody that's going to bring something to the table, then y'all can work together and continue building that, you know, that empire that you're looking for.
I like that you said that. Empire. Empire that you're looking for. And so I'm thinking about partnership, and I'm thinking about balance, and I'm thinking about finding someone. Common sense tells you need to find someone who balances you, but sometimes that's not such common sense, right? If that was common sense, every relationship would be going well. You know, everybody would be compatible. And so that's not common sense, but it makes sense, is what I say. Simply because when you think about what you like, sometimes what you like ain't good for you. You know, and even though you know that's not good for you, you still go after it. And so I want you to think about yourself in this moment, like a CEO. Think about yourself as a business. And if you quickly adopt a mindset like that and thinking about how you run your business, I wouldn't think that would be effective. I don't think you're making an effective choice by choosing what you like over what's logical in that moment, simply because this guy you may like may be good in a lot of other areas, but he's toxic. And you know, you may carry some that independent woman energy. And so when the independent woman energy meets an alpha male energy, better believe it's some issues. It's gonna be some issues there. It's gonna be some issues there unless these two alpha people have accepted themselves as alpha people and have really worked through how to deal with them in comparison to someone else. Because I'm telling you, if you don't know who you are going into these things, you are already setting yourself up for trouble. And the reason you're setting yourself up for trouble is because you're setting yourself up for a lack of accountability. You're setting yourself up for a lack of accountability because you're not going to see where your errors lie. Is that fair? How do people experience you? What is other people's experience of you? You know who you are. You know you love yourself if you dare with your self-worth and self-love. Yes, you love yourself. You are the bomb, right? But somebody else experiencing you might be like, no, that's not that. And so that's okay for you to feel good about yourself because you should. But do other people feel good about you? Do you make other people feel good too? Or are you trying to be in a bubble? Because the whole point of it is to be relational. Right? Does that make sense to you? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so that makes perfect sense, Miss Chambers. Because we all got a role in this.
Hey.
And sometimes
what's your name?
Being dominant, male or female, those roles kind of clash. As a woman, you have to let that man lead. Let him be the man in the relationship. You can't wear both pants and the dress. Because that causes conflict, too. That goes a part of your list, too. So if you feel like it ain't done the way that you want it done, so then you take over. And then, you know, the mate, he's left stuck, male or female, left stuck like, what am I here for? The question, why am I in this? Because I'm not being, you know, it's not that partnership you're talking about, Ms. Chambers, that I'm not being the partner right now. I'm not even being able to fulfill my role in this relationship because you're doing both.
And so what happens when that happens? Now the man is emasculated and the man don't feel like a man no more. And, you know, where does that leave the independent woman, or where does it leave the beta woman? Where does it leave these type of women who operate in that way? Because some women will tell you, I'm not working. I'm staying at home, be a stay-at-home mom. And that continues to check yourself to, you know, do certain tasks. What? But I don't even think that, you know, I mean, I'm still in that phase where I'm trying to figure that out, too. As far as, you know, letting someone, I think it's a challenge to let someone lead depending on what your life experience have been. And I feel like sometimes that can hinder you from allowing someone lead you. You know, because what has experience taught you about letting men lead you had you been in so many situations? You're going to have to learn how to let that baggage go. But sometimes that's not so easy. I mean, that's a critical, that's a very challenging thing, because what ends up happening is if you're going through these kinds of traumas and stuff, this stuff come up later in life. And when you develop a voice, you let everybody hear your voice. So what I'm talking about is past life experiences, and you know, as you develop this list and get older in life, depending, I mean, maybe you married, maybe you've been married a couple times, you know, you trying to get that thing right. And so I haven't been married before. But my thing about it is, as a person who wants to be married, I want to make sure when I get to that point, I want that thing to be right. You know, I want that thing to be forever and a day. I don't want to get married and get divorced. So what advice can we give to women who may be in the same position as me, or even thinking about being in a relationship? How can we, you know, support them in that fashion, simply because, you know, you don't want to put the cart before the horse, you know, and you want to seal the deal. I mean, just looking at getting to that point.
Well, you bring up a good point, Ms. Chambers, because I can share my experience, you know, because I've always been one that has provided for myself, never expected or had anyone come to the table to help out or to create that partnership, not even in my marriage. So then when I did find something like that, I didn't know how to accept it. So, you know, we would clash because, you know, he the man and wanna do things, and I'm so used to doing things for myself and not allowing him, you know, because I want things done my way and when, you know, right then and there, not waiting till the time was right for him to do it and him to do it as a man. You know, we butt heads because I wasn't used to it. So it was hard, and it puts a strain on the relationship because, you know, you're not letting the man, you know, be the man in your role. But when you're not used to it, it's hard. When you haven't had that experience before, it's hard. When you're so used to being independent and doing for yourself, it's hard. But I had to compromise and learn how to do that because it was just something I wasn't used to. And I say for women that are in that position, that are experiencing that, is why we're still single, because we cannot step back and let that man lead and let that man do what he's supposed to do for us, because we're, you know, some people have expectations and they run them off to the next person. And some people that are not used to having that man doing different things and showing them different things and trying to create a partnership with them, so they kind of bump heads because they're not used to it. And then that can run them off too, because it makes the man feel like, well, what am I here for? Or it could be a female. She could feel the same way. You know, why am I here if you're not allowing me to do certain things?
Exactly. So a defined role or defining roles. And what I can say to that, Ms. Lane, you're correct in saying that, because it is hard to let go. It is hard to trust. It is hard to allow someone else to take lead. That's a scary place. So I would say, on your list, on your personal list, not just a list for what you want from a man, but a list of what you can do for yourself and how you gonna move, is where the first list starts, is you. Once you know you, then you can make a list to balance what you do with what you need. Because everything that's fun ain't always good for you. And so you're going to have to address that. Looking back at partnership and balance, you know, and letting a man lead, these things become all a confusion when these roles are not defined. And I don't know about you, but growing up, the man did this, the woman did that. But times have changed drastically. I mean, even absolutely, in programming, even in the things I see on television, we're seeing men staying at home with the kids while the wife is at work. Okay? The wife is at work. The wife is coming home from the military. You know, that's what I'm seeing in commercials these days. I'm seeing a shift. And a quick shift at that. So where does that leave men in this list? I mean, the list might have been you had to be a provider or whatever, but maybe now on the list, you got to be able to cook and do some cleaning. Know how to use the washing machine and stuff. Take out trash.
How about combing the kids' hair?
Come on now. Let's talk. We're talking about it. We got to get some practice, like I told you, because these are topics to bring up, but some real things to be bringing up. Because as a woman, if you are the one that's working and doing everything, I mean, you need a break, sister. You need some downtime. You need some help. Okay? You need some help. And so I think that's a very valid discussion to be had about what is going to be on your personal list. I mean, some self-respect and self-love, knowing who I am, knowing what I like, knowing what I don't like mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, sexually, all of those things. And if you're not comfortable with talking about what it is that you like and what you desire, then you're not ready for step two. You're not ready for step two. Because if you don't know who you are in step one, you're going to spend a whole lot of time internalizing. Girl, you're going to spend so much time internalizing. It's going to drive you crazy when you're 45 and you're still single. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And I know better. Take it from somebody that ain't been single much in their life. I know better. And I'm telling you that this is what you need to be doing. You need to know who and what makes you tick and what you need. Not about what they need. If you're putting him first on your list, that's the problem. Okay, once that is established, we're moving towards how we're balancing ourselves with someone that is a potential partner. We are the CEOs of ourselves. We are running the business of me. And I want a long business, meaning I want a long life. And I want to enjoy the fruits of my labor in my temple, because this is the only one that I had. So being diligent about who we let into that business. Okay? Because every business has policies and procedures. And so your list is your policies and procedures of who you are and what you need and what's going to happen if it don't work out. Understand that. You got to have them kind of standards. You need to know what those red flags are, and you need to know how you're going to handle those red flags. Do you understand what I'm saying? Any questions about that? Okay. I'm just letting you know. That's numero uno on the list. Once we get that solidified, then we can move on to the next thing. Okay, because we're looking for balance. We're looking for respect. We're looking for someone who is a team player. If he ain't a team player and he want everything his way, run. Run. Run in the other direction.
If he's still living home with his mama, run.
Run in the other direction. It's 2021. It's too many ways to make money. So he should be able to be employed somewhere, even if it's for himself. Do you have an LLC? What are you doing? Because you don't want to have a business that has a partnership with someone who is not going to be able to make their bottom line. Meaning you are going to have to help them out when they hit the deck. You don't want that to happen often. So make sure you minimize risk by thoroughly understanding what you need and who you are and how they're going to help balance your bigger picture. And I will hope the bigger picture has something to do with marriage along those lines. And if not, that's fine. What is it that you need? And is that something that both of you can agree or compromise on? Oh, boy. Check this out. We are at the top of the hour, you guys. I can't lie to you that when I get on the topic of this list, I get to thinking like, why didn't I been know some of this stuff? You know, why, where did this knowledge come from? You know, and I would just say experience. Life teaches us how to make these changes.
Well, you know, Ms. Chambers,
it don't, you're calling, you know, African history and Negro history are the missing pages of world history. Go study the history of your masters. Go study the history of the people who enslaved you and find out why they found it a necessity to remove an entire people from the respective commentary.
Guess I got a lot of pride. But I'm the one to blame.
I've been dealing with depression. Way too much to even measure. Try to keep it all in. But you got me open. Hopeless for you. Oh, oh, oh. Hopeless for you. Yeah. Oh, oh. Can't afford those losses. That's just my ego talking. You made my heart beat for you. I almost cried too often. I put too much in your hands. So much regret in the end. It's a shame for you. It's a shame for me. Is the blame on you? I can say the same for me. After the wrong, is that right? How can I look into your eyes? This is the truth that I can't fight. I love you too much. I love you too much. It's a shame for you. It's a shame for me. I've been looking for something from you. I've been getting nothing at all. You're such a fucking woman. But you're such the fucking one. Yeah. I can't afford those losses. That's just my ego talking. You made my heart beat for you. I almost cried too often. I put too much in your hands. So much regret in the end. It's a shame for you. It's a shame for me. Is the blame on you? I can say the same for me. After the wrong, is that right? How can I look into your eyes? This is the truth that I can't find. I love you too. I love you too much. It's a shame for you. It's a shame for me.
They say love is blind, that's some real shit. Woke up from a lie to the truth. How you fucking lie with a straight face? How can you and I find a safe place? We was in our zone, now you making sudden moves. I wish I could cater to you, you know it's a hard way to love with no. Hard way to love with no.
Trust, that's just my ego talking. You made my heart beat for you. I almost cried too often. I put too much in your hands. So much regret in the end. It's a shame for you. It's a shame for me. Is the blame on you? I can say the same for me. After the wrong, is that right? How can I look into your eyes? This is a truth that I can't fight.
It's a shame for you. It's a shame for me.
Touchdown, am I asking too much, does it? I just want loyalty, yeah, be all about me. Am I asking too much, does it? Want you to be proud of me, cause the nigga work hard, yeah, I go so hard, does it? I just want, does it? I just want, yeah. I wanna build a family, grow a family tree. Am I asking too much, does it? I just wanna back up in a hot tub with you. That's it. I just wanna play your role when a nigga lay down. Am I asking too much? That's it. I just want. That's it. I just want. Yeah. Baby, be my peace. Cause the nigga need peace. So won't you be my peace? Yeah. Cause the nigga need peace. That's it. Girl, that's all I want. Yeah. I just want a peace of mind with some quality time. Baby, do you mind? That's it. I just need communication, love and patience. Baby, yeah, that's it. I just need sex that matters, recreation. Sex no longer it. You're all I want. You're all I want. I need a love that's unconditional. More than physical, I'm talking spiritual.
Hallelujah.
Damn, here we go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah, yeah.
Am I asking too much, baby?
Am I asking too much?
Baby,
too much?
Oh, yeah. Baby, be my peace.
Be my
peace. Yeah. Cause a nigga need peace. So won't you be my peace?
Be my peace.
I'm just trying to get it, baby girl, I gotta make it. Fly to the money, trying to get home safely. Cops trying to kill me. Driving wild black, I guess I'm guilty. My queen at home, don't kill me. The world needs cleaning, oh so filthy. My mama needs something, my daddy needs something. My siblings need something, the world needs something. I'm just one man and all I'm wanting is something.
If I make it home tonight, hey, baby, hold me tight.
Time for an awakening media lineup. All about times or Eastern Standard. On Mondays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspective with host Brother Oshi. On Monday evenings from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds with host Brother Jihad Ahmed. On Monday evenings from 8 to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with host Dr. Mawaya Cambone and Sister Nataki Campbell. On Monday evenings from 9 to 10 p.m., on the first and third Mondays of each month, Conversation Reparations. Conversation Reparations. On Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives with host Brother Ocean. On Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives with host Brother Ocean. From 8 to 10 p.m. on Friday evenings, Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot Booker and his co-host Brother Richard. On Saturday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday evening, the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee with host Dr. Janine James, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister D.D. Conley. And on Sunday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening, host Brother Elliot and his co-host Brother Richard. These are our lineup times. We thank you for your patronage, and please, by all means, check us out.
Sister Talk, Soul You Can Breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's get right back into this, ladies, because, I mean, even just listening to them two top-of-the-hour songs, I was over here thinking, like, okay, when the woman has already provided you with peace, where is our peace? Where is the balance? How do we get to some of that peace for ourselves? You know, because I don't think really that men experience the pressure that women internalize, the anticipation, the need to be perfection, the need to look a certain way, behave a certain way, and if you don't, you're not a woman, or you're not the type of woman they're interested in.
Especially when you speak up for yourself, that can be considered a manly attribute. Men would say, oh, you acting like a man because you speaking up for yourself. And so I know we talked a lot about letting a man lead, and I think sometimes that, and I believe we talked about this during our hyper masculinity discussions, that these men, this is like innate, this is acceptable for men to be men, and so you should allow a man to lead. But what happens when that man is not a great leader and the woman is? How do you handle that? What are you doing?
Hmm.
Well, I guess we ain't doing nothing. What is up, ladies? What is going on today? Do we not have a position on this? Do we feel like this shouldn't be happening? Let me see. Let me open up this line. Maybe I'm a part of the problem here. Let's see. Ladies, do we have a position on this? Okay.
Miss Chambers?
Hmm?
I think when we have, you know, everybody's not born to be leaders. Let me get that out there. So some people can lead and some people can't. But I think the key to it all is when you come across something like that, whether it's in a relationship or working on an individual level, you have to learn how to not get frustrated with it and, you know, get in your feelings about it. You got to kind of balance that thing out and figure out what strategies to use when it comes to those opportunities when somebody is not destined to lead or don't know how to lead. Maybe it's a teachable moment, you know what I'm saying? But you have to be cautious about that as well, because you don't want to come across them as being biased or creating perception of them. But it's also a teachable moment for the individual.
I would agree because I brought that up because how many times have you observed your partner doing something and in your head you like, they doing it all wrong, that is just not how that is supposed to be done, and now that part of you that needs to control something shows up and you like, that ain't how you do that, and they like, who asked you? You know? That's how stuff be sometimes. Or, how do you know how to do this? You know, and that's, like you said, then it's a teachable moment. But if it depends on that male's response. And it also depends on how you, you know, set the tone for it. Because a lot of times you can say something, you might not have meant it that way, but it shows sounded that way. You know, so I would say communication is a big part of this list. And you checking yourself to see what type of communicator you are. Because you might need some help in the communication department as well. This list ain't just about checking them, it's about checking you. He had a list in that song, in the peace song. I think that was Sammy. And yeah, a lot of these, not all women, but traditionally, that's what women did. That's what I was hearing, a traditional type of woman. But women have changed a lot. And with the economy the way it is and women taking on more leadership roles, all that did was teach society, hey, we can employ these women who are smarter than these men in a lot of situations and still pay them less. Don't think because we got the leadership roles, we got the leadership pay. Because they didn't show up with it. But they figured out, oh, we could put a woman in this position. She can do a good job. And now these men are at home and these women are getting paid less. What's up? What is up? The shift, there's a shift. So with that kind of shift, there's going to be a shift in your list. There's going to be a shift in your list, ladies. And so that shows up as women having to do stuff. You might not be able to be that stay at home. You might not be able to do that anymore. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Miss Chambers. I've never had the luxury to be a stay-at-home mom, so I don't know what that feels like. Being a single parent raising two kids alone, I wish I had that opportunity. And I don't knock it when I see the men sitting at home watching the kids. I think they should share in that because we carry the babies 9 months and bond with them. So we are the nurturers. So let the roles switch and see what we have to go. You know, it's kind of like a walk in my own shoes. So there's other obstacles that, you know, men have to stay at home because and do the cooking and the washing and the combing of the kids' hair and making sure everything is straight when the wife or significant other get in the house because it might be a time they can't get a job, you know, because a lot of these jobs are, you know, are not blue collar no more. They are forcing people out depending on their age or their race or their gender or their preference. You get what I'm saying? So there's a lot of obstacles that are in that plays a role into men and women being at home. COVID-19 is definitely a reason why, you know, a lot of them are sitting at home because, you know, my kiddos have a doctor. He had just had a baby during COVID. So I never heard of the dad taking a maternity leave, but that was my first of hearing it. The dad took a maternity leave after her maternity leave to be at home with the baby.
Mm. Now that's interesting. And you know what? I think that's a good thing that men are offered the paternity leave or whatever, but I think it's a great thing when the man is actually helping out and, you know, showing up and being there for that woman while she can go back and, you know, do her thing, because having a baby is a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. It takes a lot out of you, and the support has to be there for the transition to be successful. From, you know, it's like a butterfly, a complete metamorphosis to having the baby to now reverting back to your regular body. I mean, that's something serious. And I don't think the men really understand what you do, what you're giving up when you do that. That's a commitment in itself. And, you know, that should be honored. And so maybe that's on your list, a commitment and appreciation for being the bearer of their child. What type of pride will that man take in you being the woman that multiply his seeds, you know? Let's look at that value, because we can clearly see a lot of the times that that's not something that's high on a priority list a lot of the times, because of self-worth and just not feeling adequate, or knowing how to speak on what it is you want. Sometimes you could tell a person up front, hey, brother, you know, we ain't gonna jam, you know, this ain't gonna work out, and be okay with that. And some people take offense to that. Well, what about me? No, see, it ain't always about you. That ain't gonna work with me. See, I'm not gonna work with you because maybe you're not willing to change some things about you. So I think it's real important to have these conversations about these little nuances, because it can kind of let you get your mind to thinking about, well, how do I contribute to this list? And where have I gone down, you know, the road to be in the types of relationships that I've been in? Because sometimes this list or these experiences keep you from, you know, wanting to marry, wanting to date, wanting to see what's out there. I mean, it's hard because maybe you didn't understand how to end a relationship, or maybe you didn't understand what a good or bad relationship was. And so you just said, since I don't really understand this, let me take a step back. I mean, it's a lot of things that come up, especially when you're pursuing some dating. And so we started the conversation off with talking about some of the most important characteristics to look for in yourself and a potential partner. And we focused on creating some balance. We then went ahead and got to talking about some different examples of how this can show up. And so all of that to get to the point of, you know, the love. And how do we get to the love in that thing? How soon is it to love? I know we've heard love at first sight several times, and you may, again, be infatuated with someone, see something you like and know that's what you like because that's your color, that's your jam. But maybe when you meet that person, that sister, that brother, that individual, you may find like, man, everything about the exterior of that thing was awesome, but the interior, oh my God, trash. Straight up trash, right? You would feel some kind of way. And so I think it's important that we have these types of conversations again, because we're all human and we all feel things, but we don't speak them. And I think that speaking out on it and having these types of dialogues, it really is helpful to ease your mind, to get some of that mental strain off of you, so you can go back being refreshed, renewed, and approaching things from a different perspective. That's the important part of this discussion, to go back and sit home, reflect. How did I get to this list? What life challenges have I experienced that put me in this position? You know, we want to become forward thinkers and not just reactionary. So let's learn to reflect. Let's learn to show gratitude to ourselves in those moments when we have those voila moments, and then that next moment of shame that might creep in because you didn't bend nowhere. It's okay. It is okay. It is okay, ladies, because this conversation could also be traumatizing. Like, damn, I didn't know I had to have a list. I didn't even know I was just living aimlessly out here just trying to find love. And so it's so important to think about these things, ladies. Your body is your most prized possession. You don't want to just use that thing like nothing. You know, let's take some pride and ownership in that. You can take your power back by understanding the power you have. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just thinking about taking your power back and really focusing on you. I would also hope that you take from this conversation ways to implement time for you, time to reflect, time to maybe journal about these things that you may think about, but you're not really ready to express. That will also be very helpful to do from this conversation. I can tell you guys, learning about love, I mean, loving myself, yeah, you always kind of think you love yourself, but you don't know how to love yourself until somebody, or how much you didn't love yourself until somebody wronged you and you allowed it. And then you question whether or not you love yourself, because if I love me, why would I allow that to happen to me? Right? You ever felt like that? Like, damn, man, why did I do that? Why did I allow that person to make me feel like that? Why did I believe anything that person said? Why do I have to challenge that? Those moments where you don't have a voice and you can't even make sense out of what's happening around you. That's what I'm talking about, sisters. I'm talking about having a list so you don't allow certain things to happen and you have some prevention on the front line. So you can have that positive self-talk when you hear someone saying something to you they shouldn't be saying to you. You know who you are. Then you know you're strong enough to lead. You know, those types of situations too become so prevalent, and it could all be so simple. Just knowing if I love myself, then I can walk away knowing that I'll have better days because I can focus on me and not the anxiety
of something happening or something finna happen or how this person's going to respond. See, that's what this list does. This list does a lot of things. Most importantly, it keeps you grounded. So, gonna shift gears a little bit here. Yeah, we're gonna shift gears a little bit just here, because we didn't pretty much touch bases on when you need a list, why you have a list. I really want to know about when is it okay to say "I love you." That's what we was talking about. So, when did you know, or how do you know that you love someone? How do you know that they love you? Okay, well, for me, you know, I know that I'm loved when I'm respected. I know that I'm loved when I'm supported through all my endeavors. I know that I'm loved when I'm protected. I know that I am loved when I can have a conversation with that person and I know they're listening. And actively listening and understanding what I'm saying to them. You know, and notice that when the first five things out of my mouth didn't have anything to do with what someone can do for me financially. Because as a woman, especially in these times, there's too many ways for you to be successful in your own right. And so my thing is, being who you need to be for yourself, no matter what happens. So I don't have to have someone who is going to hold over my head what they can or can't do for me, because I can do for myself. Yes, they should have money. You know, yes, they should have something here. We can't come with nothing. We got to show up with something. And that's simply because we're adults, you know, and things like credit should be in order and, you know, savings and, you know, thinking about 401ks, things like that. People, that kind of stuff need to be going on too. Health insurance and all that. Yeah, all of that. But that's financial stuff, right? And so I should be able to do that for myself. And therefore, I don't need to base that off of your existence with me. Because I'm able to be me without you. And I'm able to be a better me when you're with me. See, that's good. That's great. That's what you're looking for. Does anyone else want to share how they know that they're loved?
I would, Miss Chambers.
Okay.
I know that I'm loved because all of those good things that you just said, in addition to, you know, we can agree to disagree in order to have understanding when we communicate, because communication is everything. We communicate, you know, maybe I said this the wrong way, or maybe I didn't communicate that the right way, or maybe I perceived that the wrong way, but just sitting down having those open dialogues about stuff and you know, just being able to communicate. So, you know, when my mate come and say, "Hey, baby, I think I need to talk. You know, we need to talk," and expressing how he feels and, you know, when he want to spend time and how things supposed to look with, you know, when it comes to us and things that are bothering him, we able to talk about those. And then once we get past those obstacles, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, maybe this person do love me, because he thought enough of me to sit down and talk to me about how he feels. And that's very hard for male or female to do. And just the way they look at me and how he treats me with respect and you know, demand respect from others and how they treat me and, you know, always there when I need him, at the right moments and at the right time, always willing to, you know, figure out what we're going to do. You know, we have date nights. I think that's important. That shows that, you know, you put enough effort into me to say, hey, let's do this night and this night. This is just all about you. The rest, you know, the rest of the week, you know, the rest of the days of the week, you know, we doing things as partners. But this night here is especially for you, and it's going to be set aside for you. So when you put yourself aside to make something happen special for me, you know, that's how you know that you love. It ain't about what you're doing and how you're doing. It's about how what you're showing me.
Mm-hmm. Can you show me, not tell me? I don't want to hear, oh, baby, I wish I could do that. I want to see. Lead with your actions, not with your words. That's how you can show me you love me. Lead with your actions and not with your words. Because them sweet nothings is what gets you in trouble, ladies. Stop letting them in, whisper in your ear and show and prove. Show and prove.
Yeah, because anybody can say, I love you, but does that mean that they love you? I can say,
what
I love
does
you
that mean?
20 more times today. If my actions does not align with what I just said to you, it means nothing.
Exactly. And that's so true, because what you see is a lot of times, and this is not just a man thing, it's a woman thing too, because some women just ain't right, you know, in some of these relationships. And that's why I wanted some of these men to speak up, because, you know, their hearts get broken too, and they have, there's some good men out here who have some great expectations. But sometimes women shoot them down because they want somebody they can just run over. You know, they want a man who they can have their way with. And I mean, if that's what you like, that's what you like. But do that, will that make you happy in the end, because you have power and control over that situation? Just like men who are interested in the ladies of the night. Do you feel comfortable, you know, engaging in those types of exchanges when you know deep down what it is? You know, when you could be in a relationship with somebody, or you could seek out somebody who, you know, you can have that balance with, what does that look like? Because honestly, it can be a challenge. It could be a challenge to deal with that mental upset. Okay, after the, you know, B.B. King said it the best, when the thrill is gone, you know, when the thrill is gone and you're back in your car on the ride home, or you back in your place and they gone, how do you feel? You left with those feelings. What does that feel like? What do you think is going to be the end game? Because, I mean, that stuff is fun when you're younger, but when you start to get older, I don't know, maybe you're looking for somebody to get old with. And so maybe when you're looking for somebody to get old with and you repositioning yourself in your list, you know, that list is going to change. That list, you know, that list is going to evolve in some ways because you've changed, you know. And statistically speaking, Black women are less likely to be married and more likely to be a single parent, statistically speaking. And so when you have those odds against you and you hear other things in the media, like Black women are not marriage material, or, you know, some of the other negative things that come along with being a Black woman and you trying to be who you are, man, talk about some pressure. Talk about some, my list might not be a list because I don't feel like I'm in a position to have one, and I got to take what I can get. And so whoever say they like me or they love me, hey, he must be the one. No, ma'am. I'm here to tell you, black woman, you're beautiful, and don't believe what you've been heard. That's not true. It's not true. And any other woman that's listening that has heard that, it's not true. It's not true. And so you're going to have to learn how to be who you are and unapologetically in love with yourself. Unapologetically. You got stretch marks, love them. So somebody say something about them, you be like, please, it's the best stretch marks you ever seen. And stand on that and love it. And if you ain't got no edges, that's okay. I know how to make it look right when I need to make it look right. You ain't got to impress nobody but yourself. Be okay with you. That's so important. Because you can make whatever that flaw is the most movingest thing out here. People be like, yeah, girl, because you wear your thing and you ain't got no problem with it. You know, you doing that. And they gonna do what they need to do. Stop letting these insecurities rule you. And stop allowing other people to make you feel bad about who you are. That's why I told you the first step is making sure you know who you are. Because when somebody says something about you, it ain't gonna matter. Because you know who you are. And you ain't gonna get with nobody who can't respect who you are when you know who you are. Let's move from this internalization and let's move into a voice. Let's move into speaking up. Because I guarantee you, if you don't speak up, it's gonna transfer in different situations and it is not going to be pretty. That's what I know. So, are we still thinking about a list? We thinking about a feeling? Or are we thinking about ourselves? That's what I want you guys to go home and focus on and ponder about this evening.
Ms. Chambers?
Mm-hmm.
I think you said it best. When we look in terms of being with someone, whether it's male or female, it should be looked at as a partnership for the long haul, not just for short term, but what it looks like for the long haul and what those partnerships are going to create and what they are going to bring forth in the relationship. And then are we willing to put the work in for the long haul to maintain those long-term relationships? Partnerships.
Exactly. Because if this is not taught, or some things that shouldn't have been taught to you, I mean, I'm thinking when I say this, I'm trying to tread lightly because this is a situation by situation type of thing. And so that's why I try to give examples when having this type of discussion, because I know everybody's values are not universal. And so, like I said, if you growing up in a household where people have taught you some bad habits and that crosses over into your life and now we're seeing some sort of generational curse or pattern here, somebody got to say something. And now, depending on when somebody says something to you, depends on whether or not you're willing to make a change. I know it takes some people a whole lifetime to be hit on the head over and over and over again and still make the same mistakes. So if you're not one of them, I'm happy that you're still listening, you know. And if you are one of them, I'm happy that you're still listening too, because this message is for you. This message is to reboot you and help you get recalibrated with how to be the star player for yourself. You can't be the star player for somebody else till you're the star player for yourself. Sis, let me tell you, you can't. Your cup is never going to run it over. It will never run it over in that way. Balance is so key. I cannot stress that. Balance is so key to this list. So, thinking about all that we discussed today, you know, I'm just grateful that I haven't found myself in too many situations where I'm like, man, how did I get here? Because I have always been cautious. But I know everybody has not had that experience that I've had. Some people have had riskier situations in their lives. Some people have been vetted and put in positions of human trafficking and put in positions where their mother has brought them into their life, or another relative, or, you know, have not. And that's not relatable for them. However, we need to be able to reach you too, to let you know that that's not okay. And that shouldn't be happening. And that shouldn't have never happened to you. So I don't want you to feel like you don't have a seat at this table, because you do. And I want to let you know that abuse is not okay. And I want to let you know you do deserve to have a list, and you can have make a list today. And that list starts with what you need to feel whole, what you need to heal, what you like about you, what things you dislike about you. Yes. And then let's address those things. That's a first step to building some confidence, because at least you know. At least you know what you need. At least you know how you feel. And can't nobody take that from you, and can't nobody tell you how to feel. See, that's you taking your power back. And so for those ladies who don't have a list and never even thought about a list or a requirement, or I'm just this, and so people can do what they want with me, I'm here to tell you, no, that it don't have to be that way. It definitely does not have to be that way. You deserve to have your own list too. And it starts with you too, sis. So I got to let you know that. Yeah, I just got to be 100% honest with you. Anytime you come on Black Sister Talk, you definitely can breathe. You definitely going to get the real, and ain't going to be no apologies about it, because this is life. This is what people are dealing with in real time. And if we're going to have a community therapy platform where you could come in and talk and speak your mind, you better believe. You better believe I'm going to let loose and be honest with you too, because we're having a raw moment. And therefore, I invite you here next week to do the same thing with us and talk about another topic, which I'm really, really excited about. And I want to take a few minutes before we get to the end of this show, just to let you guys know what it is we'll be talking about next week on Black Sister Talk. And then I'll go ahead and get any closing remarks for anybody else that's on the line that wants to share their final thought before we close out. But next week, we're going to be talking about mental illness, the ongoing conversation. As you know, 1 month doesn't encompass the everyday life of managing mental health and mental illness. So next week on Black Sister Talk, we'll be addressing how more funding will assist with well-being and the quality of life. And is this a waste of money? And if so, how do you address mental health without the proper resources? And how have the laws helped us to help those who cannot help themselves? Come on now. We definitely going to have to get into that discussion next week a little bit more. I'm very happy to share that with you guys this week a little bit earlier, so you can come with your questions and your experiences about mental health and funding. It would be nice to have some of the therapists call in who are working with some of these insurers, as well as some of the people who are actually seeking out services in the community, and what kind of impact having mental health services or not having mental health services has provided for you or not provided to your family. And so I'm really excited about having that discussion, because it is ongoing. It's not that 1 hour session. That's 24/7 all day, 365. And ain't no pill gonna always fix it. So how do we manage those situations, and how do we get support for those who are managing those situations? Okay. That is what we'll be talking about next week on Black Sister Talk. Before we end today's show, I want to check in with you. Do you have any closing things you'd like to share, Ms. Lenny, before we close out today?
No, I just think it was a great show. It's definitely a conversation that's needed. Because, you know, a lot of this with this listing, we didn't touch on. We'll touch on next week where the mental health and domestic violence is on the rise because a lot of this. So it was a great show. And I really hope that our listeners who are across the fence with this or have issues with that have, you know, it has impacted them in some shape, form, or fashion to, you know, look over their list and reassess some things and, you know, figure out, you know, how they would like things to be and creating those partnerships and stop thinking of it as something else other than that for the long haul.
Exactly. Let's think about partnership instead of proprietorships when we're dealing with these relationships. If you take a partnership approach, you be taking a team approach. You be taking the focus off of just you in certain situations and compromising. And know that you would be able to compromise with whomever you are compromising with because you have sought them out due to the balance that they can create in your life and the balance that you can create in their life. We are not looking to be stressors. We're not looking to nag. We are looking for complementary situations. How do we get to that? Speaking up and letting ourselves know what we want first. You don't even got to let them know what you need to know what you want first. So when it ain't what you want, you can keep it moving. And you don't find that out when it's too late. And now you feeling obligated. This is not a love of obligation. This is not a love of expectation. This is a love of respect. This is a love of actual care. This is a love of commitment. This is a love of hello. This ain't the gift of goodbye. I'm talking about the love and hello. I'm happy to see you. Good morning. Miss Lane, you hit it on the nail. Making time for that person making time for you. Understanding. Can we get to some of that? And I'm not talking about some born type of love. I'm talking about some, you know how to have fun like I know how to have fun too, and we can have fun together type of love. That's what we're looking for in a partnership. That's what you should be looking for on your list. Somebody that make you feel good when you see them. When you see them, your body just tingle and you know that's the one for you. That's what I'm talking about. Not lust, not infatuation, but good old-fashioned love. Let's get to some of that. Because mental health and everything else that you have to battle up against every day is going to put salt in your eyes and keep you from seeing your vision of love. It's going to keep you, it's going to hold you back. So come back here next week with us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe and come and breathe with us on our mental health topic. I'm so happy to be back, and I can't see y'all next week.
Sister Talk, so you can breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.